Blog Talk Radio.
This is Open Talk Radio, The Flash.
Welcome everyone to Jordan Garber Now, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Boy, do we have a big show for you guys today. We have a tour interview with none other than Sloan, as well our main event interview for tonight, former WWE star Kaylin Croft, all next on Jordan Garber Now. Are you looking for your next best stop for professional wrestling interviews? Well, look no further. Turnbuckle Summits is hosting their Spring 2020 main event, April 1st to 3rd, 2020, and it is free. It is a $197 value, and you can get your free ticket now on turnbucklesummits.com. Listen to exclusive interviews with indie wrestling talent from around the world. Get a glimpse into a side of their lives that you've never seen before, and hear their candid thoughts and opinions on the professional wrestling landscape. Go to turnbucklesummits.com for more information. Are you that wrestling fan looking for that perfect television package to meet your needs? Well, Real Aid Media has the perfect option for you. With the Wrestling Box promo, you pay for the box for $199.95. After that, you're only paying $29.95 per month with no contracts and no obligations. Real Aid Media also provides marketing services operating in 5 countries. To book an appointment or to get your wrestling package, go to stevenbenzelock.bookify.com. That's Steven Benzelock at bookify.com. Check it out. Real Aid Media, providing great wrestling content for a cheap price. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as promised, our first interview with none other than Sloan. What a great person to work with on the Northern Death Tour. Definitely some ups and downs that we both had throughout the tour. But, you know, the most important thing about this business is learning something new. And working with Sloan, I truly realized that. Coming up on Jordan Garber Now, our interview with none other than BC wrestling star Sloan. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Jordan Garber Now. Yes, a lot of great interviews. You listened to Kaylin Croft from WWE last week. And now this week we have none other than Sloan. Sloan, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you for having me, Garber.
Well, we are no strangers to each other in professional wrestling. We did overcome that infamous and hellacious Northern Death Tour. We went a lot of miles, and we wrestled in a lot of towns, and it was, you wrestled in a lot of towns. Just kind of staying at home, you know, with this whole situation going on, obviously there's a new journey to overcome. But coming home from that journey, you know, after finishing your first Northern Death Tour, after all the names that did it, how did that kind of feel for you?
Oh, man. Honestly, that was, like, one of the best experiences of my life. Like, I'm so grateful for that experience. I had a blast. It was hard, and it was challenging, and, like, I felt like we were living in a reality TV show.
Yeah, pretty much.
It just didn't even feel real. It was crazy, and I loved it. I loved every minute of it, even the hard times. Like, I'm so happy that I, you know, chose to say yes to Tony when he asked if I wanted to come on the tour.
I think it was crazy, too. It kind of compares to, like, a sitcom situation where, you know, just the way, you know, the crew was, which was great, but, you know, lots of butting heads, things like that, and a lot of good times as well. So that's kind of what it reminded me of. But kind of going back to your inspiration for wrestling, you've always liked The Rock. You know, how old were you when you started watching The Rock, and what kind of made you make that leap to train?
I mean, wrestling was always on when I was a kid, from, like, as early as I can remember, because my dad loved wrestling. So I remember the very first time that I became, like, oh, this is my thing, was The Rock cutting a promo and I was just instantly hooked, and I was like, this is my thing. Like, I like to talk shit. Like, that's my thing. And then I kind of, like, you know, I wanted to be a wrestler for a long time, but I kind of, like, stopped wanting to be a wrestler, like, later on in high school. Because, you know, puberty and, you know, teenage girls, things that just seemed like a ridiculous plan to become a wrestler. It just seemed unattainable to me at the time. And it wasn't until I moved to Vancouver and I started working at a comedy club, and I was around live performance every night, and I became friends with all these comedians, and I was around all these, you know, artistic people who were following their dreams, and I realized that I really had to follow mine and at least give it a shot. So, yeah, that's why I ended up, you know, taking the leap.
And, you know, you always enjoy, you know, watching Lance Storm on television, so to have that chance to train with him and work with him was definitely a big break for you. How was that whole transition going forward, you know, training with one of the best?
Lance is great. I loved, you know, training with him and learning from him. But at the time, I was actually quite concussed. So my experience was a little abnormal. I got concussed the night before I was supposed to leave, and I just didn't handle it properly, and I ended up training, you know, during the full amount of time with a pretty gnarly concussion, and didn't tell anyone about it, and proceeded to have issues long after I got home. So I definitely learned a lot from Lance, but I don't think that I was able to gain as much from it as I could have had I been, like, 100%.
Absolutely. That's something I can understand for sure. And,
yeah.
You know, there's someone who taught you a lot as well by the name of Christina Von Uri. Kind of explain the things that she kind of taught you a little bit, too, along the way.
I've only wrestled her. I haven't really trained with her.
Not trained, but like maybe what she taught you in the ring.
Oh, right. Yeah, I had a really good match with her. We did like a tour, like a small tour together on the island, and she kind of taught me taking my time more, you know, not rushing and kind of making every little, you know, moment count. We had some good matches for sure. But that was a long time ago. That was like 3 years ago now. I can't really remember that far back.
Definitely going a little back there in time. Speaking of going back,
yeah.
You know, I did research on yourself, and I came across a mini documentary that you were in. That was amazing. I was a big fan of it. I really enjoyed watching your journey. And kind of just describe just the whole filming process of that and how that all came about. You know, it was a pretty popular documentary about yourself, kind of transitioning from comedy to wrestling and things like that. So kind of just talk about how that got filmed and how you were feeling during the whole documentary itself.
I started filming a few months after I got home from Storm, and so I was still kind of not 100%, but I was still wrestling and I was still training. I wasn't taking any time off, and then these dudes approached me to do, you know, they wanted to do, initially they just wanted to do a documentary about the indie wrestling scene in Vancouver, but when they kind of met me and I told them about my story, they were like, oh, we want to just focus on you. And so it was probably the hardest thing. I, like, 2016 and the beginning of 2017 was like the hardest point in my life, 100%, because I was concussed. I went to Storm, I trained for 3 months, got home, kept wrestling, and then, you know, right into But that's not really something you can force. And so they were really good and whatever, but I was just not in a place where I could really, you know, seize the opportunity. And by the end of filming, I had been getting hurt in every match, and I had actually decided that I needed to take a break. So the last match that we filmed was like the last match I had for a long, long, long time, because I didn't even know if I wanted to do this anymore. And so it was a stressful process, and having it released was even more stressful, because I was like, well, here I am about to have this documentary about how much I want to be a wrestler, and I don't even know if I want to be a wrestler right now. So it was really stressful for me. It definitely turned out great, and everyone loved it, but for me, like, I don't even like watching it now, because that was such a rough part of my, you know, journey, and I've come so far since then that I just, you know, I'm like, I'm not quite ready to revisit that.
How did you have the character that you have now? You know, you have a unique character who comes out with the sunglasses, the fancy coat, and the vapes. Like, how did you come up with that character?
It all kind of started, my character is just really an extension of me. When I was younger and I used to, you know, party a little bit more and whatever, I had like an alter ego, I guess you would say, that would come out. My friends named her Lady Jim. And so when I started wrestling, I was like, I know that I'm creating this character based off of her, but I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that sounds like. I don't know how she moves. Like, I didn't really know anything, because the only time I was ever connected to her in the past was when I had been drinking. And so now that I wasn't drinking, it was harder to figure that out. But I was just kind of like hyper-focused on creating her, and I would get all these like little clues almost, and then one day it just kind of all snapped together. Like, I think the first clue I got was I was watching Fight Club after, I hadn't watched it in years, and there was just something about Brad Pitt's character in the movie, and I forget the actress's name of the movie. Do you know Fight Club?
I'm trying to think about it. I'm trying to remember. I can Google it.
I forget her name, but anyway, the main woman in the movie.
I'm gonna get an answer for you.
Yeah, I know what the character's name is. I just don't know what her actual name is.
No worries.
The character's name is Marla Singer. But there's something about those two characters that stood out to me.
I think it's Helena Carter. Helena Carter.
Oh, I don't. What?
Isn't it Helena Carter? It has to be. It says
I love you this one.
Yeah, it says starring Brad Pitt, Edward Norton, Helena Bonham Carter, Meatloaf, and Jared Leto.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
It's a good movie. I love that movie.
Yes, it's a great movie. Anyway, so that was kind of like the conception of Sloan, was watching that movie. And then what came next was, because I style-wise, I kind of took those two characters, and because I'd already had a shaved head by that point, so, and you know, Brad Pitt's character at the end, he has a shaved head, and he's wearing fur, and she's wearing fur, and she's wearing, like, pretty much the same sunglasses that I wear. So it's kind of those two characters, like, mixed together, in terms of style. And of course, both of them are smoking, you know, a lot during the whole movie. And I didn't want to just all of a sudden start smoking. So I had to think about, because I'd gotten these notes from people that I needed, like, a prop of some kind. They're like, you're missing something out there. Like, you need a prop. like, it's probably a cigarette, but I'm not going to bring a cigarette to the ring. So vape kind of just fell into my lap. I had a friend that had a Juul, and she had actually, like, a couple of them, and she, you know, she would come hang out, and she would have, you know, and then I just started kind of playing around with it, and then I was like, oh, you know, I kind of like this. And this kind of suits the whole look that I'm going with, because it's small and it's sleek. So that's how that started. And there's just, you know, all these little pieces coming together one by one. You know, it's still developing now, you know, but I'm definitely a lot closer than I was a year ago.
Absolutely, for sure. And definitely you had a great journey. What do you think makes yourself make yourself stand out from other women's wrestlers, you know, being one of the tougher women in the locker room?
Tougher women? Why do you say that, Garth?
Just because, you know, you the way that you present yourself makes it's a really good thing. How you take what you love to do very seriously, and you don't let anyone stand in your way. And that's one thing I've recognized. How did you kind of adjust to that? And not just that, but, you know, how do you stand out? How does Sloane stand out from other women's wrestlers or wrestlers in general?
Oh, man. I feel like there's more than one question in there.
like a multi-question in one.
I know that I have yet to see another women's wrestler with I was thinking my, you know, short haircut is one thing. But there's not a lot of us out there. Women wrestlers with short haircuts doesn't really exist that much. But I think, like, for me, my main focus is the character work, and I want to develop that as much as possible, and I think that that's not the focus of everybody. So I hope that that's what stands out about me, is that my character is coming through more, you know, obviously than most, but not... It's not really, I don't see it as a competition that way. We all need to be good in order to have a good show. So I'm only really hoping to impress myself, really.
Definitely. Well, I think the jury is always going to continue on for yourself. You definitely have bright paths in your future for sure. And where can people follow you on social media to get all the information about when you're wrestling next after this whole epidemic is over?
Oh, well, my Instagram is The Only Sloane. That's pretty much the main place. That's where I'm at.
Right.
I have no idea when I'll be wrestling again because, you know, I've had every show, you know, that was coming up. I was just wrestling this weekend. So every show for, like, the next month and a half has been ixnayed, so... I'm not really sure when that's going to happen. hopefully soon.
And before we wrap up, we have a segment we love to do. It's called The Top Three. Just mean, you know, top three people you've worked with, three that come to your mind that you've had a really good relationship with and you have good memories with in the business.
Oh. Okay. I would say... Nicole Matthews. And do you want me to elaborate or just name people?
If you want, you can elaborate if you wish.
So I'll just name people. Nicole Matthews, Rhea Von Splasher, and Randy Myers.
Right on. Perfect. Well, that is a great top three. Very familiar with all of them, and they all have maintained huge success. Sloane, thanks for taking the time, ma'am. It was a huge pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks, Trevor.
And wow, what a great interview with Sloane, and we're going to get right back to it here after these messages. Coming up on Jordan Garber Now. Kaylin Croft.
Newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
You heard them. Use promo code PowerSlam now. Hey, you. Yes, you. Are you looking for that car deal to meet your needs? Are you looking for that perfect family vehicle and that perfect accessibility, but for a decent price? Well, Jordan Garber now has teamed up with some of the top local dealers here in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and can provide you a perfect vehicle option for you. For more information, follow us on Twitter at Jordan Garber Now. And our main event interview is coming up. Now, I attempt to reach the press with this interview, and it's with none other than Kaylin Croft. What a great interview here. 20-plus minutes of great wrestling talk in this interview. He talks about his days in OVW, in FCW, and being on the WWE main roster, and plus being fired for behavioral issues that have later concluded to him returning to the company. So it's a great story, a great roller coaster ride for Kaylin Croft, and he's next on Jordan Garber Now. Welcome to the Jordan Garber Now podcast. As promised here, I'm very excited to bring our special guest on the show. The last time we had a really big guest on the show, we had Sabu, and we had Al Snow, and we had some other great talent. And it's great to add Kaylin Croft to the list here on Jordan Garber Now. How you doing, man? Great to hear from you.
Hey, Jordan, I'm doing great, man. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, it is a pleasure, that's for sure. Now, usually I like to start by asking about training and influences, but you received a very unique training setup when WWE had two developmental territories, which was OVW and Florida Championship Wrestling. What were the differences like between the two in regards of atmosphere and development?
Yeah, great question. So the first thing I would say about that is Ohio Valley Wrestling, when they first became the WWE, what we now call developmental territory, that was a relatively new concept at the time. And so what that was Ohio Valley Wrestling was already its own established promotion in Southern Indiana / Louisville, Kentucky, run by Nightmare Danny Davis. And then WWE, I think for Jim Cornette, they looked it up, decided to make that a farm. So when I started training at Ohio Valley Wrestling, they were their own independent, company under the umbrella of the WWF, which was really cool. And that's why I chose to begin my training there. And then let's see, that was in 2001, so fast forward to late 2008 when I arrived. FCW, during that time, a lot had happened. I got fired and got rehired. And when I arrived in Florida Championship Wrestling, it had now changed to where, developmental was strictly a WWE-owned company. And actually, so FCW was the first time I was really impressed where, OVW was great. But FCW was the first time where they put all the WWE money into the production, to the whole thing. I mean, we had a TV studio with all the top WWE lighting and all that stuff. So I see those two big differences. Other than that, they both were excellent training facilities, like the best trainers, and everybody had gone through there at one point or another, pretty much.
Was there a lot of humble beginnings at the time? You're training with a top program here. Did you have any self-doubt, or did you know that you could complete the course along the way?
Yeah, so my here in Ohio Valley Wrestling. I lived in Youngstown, Ohio at the time, and I signed up for their beginner's class. And that was a six-hour car ride for me on the week one way. So when I started training in May of 2001, I would drive 12 hours round trip just to get in the rain for a couple hours on Saturday. And so this is what I always wanted to do. So I never really, and of course, sometimes that's what you're doing, but for the most part, I never really saw myself doing anything else other than getting to WWF at that time. And also, too, I think when we, when you're really willing to put in the effort, it's like, you know, you meet the right people that are along your path to help you. And at that time, OVW, Nick Dinsmore, who was Eugene, was the head trainer there, and he saw what I was doing with driving 12 hours on a trip, and then after about a month, instead of me just getting like a hotel or something, he let me stay with him. And so Nick was very instrumental in my early career, and I got to start learning ring psychology, you know, outside of the wrestling ring. We watch film together, and we just hang out. This is also when I got to know a young guy named John Cena, Rob Conway, Batista, all those guys were there at the time. So, I started to get this education, early on from some of the really, even though they were young too at the time, they were in their early, mid-20s. But, so I was really fortunate in that regard.
Seeing all those young guys, for example, John Cena, what was it like, working with them? Did you know that they had the potential from the get-go, or did that take time to develop?
Oh, for sure, because, there's a lot of good talent in OVW then, and, Cena, you just by looking at him, but the way he presented himself and, who he is, he just struck me even back then as somebody that, no matter what this guy does, he's going to be successful. And so we all saw that early on for sure. And Nick was, I've told Nick this before, when you're brand new to wrestling, it seems like everybody knows what they're doing, but you don't know anything. And as I went along, you start to see, okay, this guy, he kind of sucks. Nobody's doing it, this guy over here. But as I started to grow and improve, I started to realize that Nick Dinsmore, not only was he impressive to me, he was better than a lot of people. Nick was about 5 or 6 years into wrestling then, and Rick Rogers was around, that was trainer, Danny Davis, the other guys that were there were Batista, Brock Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin. These guys already looked like superstars, so it was cool to be around that. So, you can tell the guys that were going to already be successful.
Absolutely. What was it like, working with The Miz in the beginning? What was that like in OVW there?
Yeah, so it was kind of crazy because I'd been in the developmental for a few years, and then they opened a second one. It was called Deep South Wrestling. And, this guy, I never watched the real world, but they happened to catch one episode once where this guy was calling himself The Miz and was drunk and he was screaming and he would be a wrestler. So that's all I knew about him. And then Captain Kelly, who was the winner of Tough Enough 3 and a good friend of mine, so around 2000, I guess it was late 2004, it was probably early 2005, so the Matt and the Miz were going to be attacked, they're going to be reality stars, and then Matt got hurt, so they put me on the road with the Miz for all the summer of 2005, just as a filler, and then Matt came back, and then we found out Matt had brain cancer. He was back out, and I was back in. And then it was decided that me and the Miz now would be a tag team. So then we did all the Raw house shows, the first few months of January of 2006. And I didn't know much about him. I was just like this guy. Is he into wrestling? Does he just like want to do this to be famous? Once I got to know Mike, we got along immediately. He's a great guy. In fact, he had to overcome a lot of crap, kind of, because I think a lot of people kind of begged him as, you know, he's just here from the real world. But honestly, Miz has proven himself way, beyond that now, all these years later. So it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun together. And then we were set to meet Super in April of 2006. And literally the vignettes have started to air, actually, in Miz. And then I got fired for excessive.
What went down during that situation, during your firing at the time, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, so we, it was St. Patrick's Day of, I guess it was March that we were supposed to be, end of March. It was like this time, sure. It was St. Patrick's Day, 2006, and we just went all out, and, So I ended up in the hospital that night just from drinking too much, really, and too much partying. And it was pretty serious, really bad, because I almost ended up dying. And,
oh, my God.
So I was hospitalized, and then the office found out about it. And this time also, the wellness policy is going to affect, because a lot of wrestlers, past wrestlers were dying young. Eddie Guerrero, I just died like months before.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of stuff surrounding that. So, WWE was really coming down on, and they started implementing drug testing, which is still in effect today, to my knowledge.
Yes, it is.
And,
I was just saying, they still have a wellness policy in effect, and it's stronger than ever.
That's the way I understand it. And, I think they were just like, okay, here's this new guy coming in from developmental. He's already having a problem. Let's just get rid of him. And, I hated it at the time. So I went from debuting on SmackDown to being fired within like a week. Blessings in disguise. And so it ended up being one of the best things that happened, which is super cool. Because that really caused me to look at myself and look at what I'm doing and how I'm living. And over the next couple of years, I made some pretty big changes in my life because I wanted to, And then once I got straightened out, the opportunity came up to get looked at again. I stayed wrestling, through that time. And then I got rehired.
So kind of going in from there, you worked in Florida Championship Wrestling, but you eventually earned the main roster spot coming up with the Dude Busters. How did that team come up, and how was your relationship with Trent Beretta?
Yeah, so FCW was so much fun. Because by the time I got to FCW, I had been, wrestling for 7 years, that's 7.5 years, I guess. And I had been through WWE and their developmental system already, so I was glad to be there, and it was just fun. Like Dr. Tom Pritchard, man, I had known Dr. Peter, Steve Green, Norman Smiley, Steve Green, Dusty Rhodes, and it was just a great group of guys, and it was just a lot of fun. Me and Ryback, who was a friend of mine, we both got rehired together. It's just done fire 2 years ago as well. So we came out here together. And it was just fun. And then, like, almost immediately, people were like, hey, man, you kind of look like Trent Beretta. And I said, who's that? He's a wrestler here. And so, almost right away, they put us in the tag team. And then Dusty started booking us as a team on FCW TV. not those exact ones, but they did their own version of that and gave it to WWE, and they were like, this is awesome. So they brought them up like immediately. JTG didn't even go through development. Like, he had been in OVW, he got a contract, he just got the title right to the road. So, but that was great to watch. But yeah, so we had matches with them. And then we worked a lot with the Hard Guys. That was fun. You know, me and TJ.
He's a good guy.
From FCW. And then we had a really good match with them on SmackDown one night. And right after the match, John Laurinaitis said, hey, that was great because you guys are booked on the next European tour. And so that's the first European tour I did. So that was a lot of fun. And then I saw the questions you were going to ask me, Jordan. You asked me about the tag team division.
Yeah.
So from there, it's kind of like nothing really. They didn't really did anything with us. And I'm not saying that they complained, you know. But around that time, it just seemed like there was no focus on tag teams, you know. So we kind of just would. We have guys who didn't have good matches. Nothing ever really got behind us, I guess you could say.
What are some guys that you like had the best chemistry with in the ring?
Man, so many. I guess, let me think for a minute. Instead of naming anybody specifically first, I will say the guys you had the best matches with were just some of the other better workers. You know, where you were like, okay, this guy's good. He's to work with. He used to put matches together with some guys in the butt because they were so worried about how they're going to look. You know, that type of thing. But the best was your butt. You always have the best matches with your friend. And just off the top of my head, guys at that time, Joe Henning, or Kurt Saxel, Heath Slater. I was like working right back. Kurt Hawkins, Hot Dynasty. Man, so many people. But I would say that. And then the guys that were hard to work with, they're stiff or they're just hard to move around. That was always a little more difficult.
When you were done, like, your career in WWE, you obviously pursued other opportunities, but why didn't you have another indie run? Is it something that you just, you know, felt like you wanted to move on from and do what you do today?
So I'd wrestled for 10 years and I've been through all the ups and the downs, and then when I got released, it was November 2010, or December 2010, and I just felt like I'd done everything I wanted to do, and personally, I started to change a bit. You know, I was 30, and I started thinking about, for the first time in my life, I started to think, you know what, maybe there are other things other than pro wrestling that I'd like to pursue. And I had that feeling for a few months, but I never would have left. Because I thought they would keep me around like a utility guy, you know, just to work with new guys, I could do that. So when I did get let go, I remember when John Laurinaitis called me to tell me, he said, you know, you can always come back, which is true. You know, if I wanted to, I probably would have. Me and Rip Gallows have been going at the same time. That's one of my best friends in wrestling, Rip Gallows, and, he's been back and doing great. When Laurinaitis was talking to me, kind of like then I kind of decided, okay, I think I'm done. Then I sat on that for a minute, a little bit, and I just decided to pursue other things. And everything happens for a reason. And I was content with that. And so I think wanted to prove myself that I could have a normal job, if you will. You know, which I did.
Oh, was it hard adjusting to like normal lifestyle after that? Because myself, you know, obviously I know reality and passion and or reality and hobby, which my podcasting is. But you know, do you sometimes, you know, miss it, or you know, once in a while, or is it something that you kind of just completely moved on for? And how was the transition overall? How long did it take for you to kind of just, you know, get wrestling out of your daily routine, sort of?
Yeah, I just transitioned because, I had a friend explain to me there's a difference. I got fired in 2006, disciplinary actions. In 2010, I got let go. I was like, that's fair. I got fired in 2006. When I got fired in 2006, I had to grow up a lot, but like the way I saw it, that any other work was beneath me. I'm a wrestler. I'm a pro wrestler. That's what I do. But if you're not getting paid for it, you do something. In 2010, I was pretty much a different person, just in the natural progression of life. And like I said, I had other desires. I wanted to get married, have a kid, like not just to do it, but I knew that was part of the long-term goal. And I remember thinking, you know, it might be difficult to do that. You can definitely do it while you're still wrestling. But I just started having other things I wanted to pursue. So when I got let go, I just felt like, okay, this is the opportunity to move forward. And, you know, it was nice. So I had a few months not to do anything, because if you get 7 months training, once you're lucky, 7 months day. And then that's when I started to look at something else career-wise. And I've got my art degree. So I like kids, and I thought maybe I could become an art teacher. And that's what happened. So that was cool. And the whole transition was about 8 months. And, the only thing that took getting used to was waking up every day at 6 a.m. So I had never done that at that point.
Quite the big adjustment, that's for sure. And, you know, one final question before we get to your plugs here. You are known as well. You wrestled in two different eras. You wrestled one time on Raw in 2004, and you did wrestle in 2010. Any differences between the two time frames in your career? Or, you know, obviously discipline-wise, but, like, just in general, between those two time periods being on TV?
Not really, but... That's a great question. Not really, but from what I hear today, it's a lot different. I can't go by what I've been told by some of my buddies that are currently there, but I guess it was still more, a little more crazy when I first started, I guess you could say. Does that make sense? But it was nothing like what I used to hear. Things were like in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was.
And I'm wondering, and I'm guessing, yeah. But you said the wellness policy is going to affect, and I'm guessing it's because WWE over the years have become more and more corporate, I guess you could say.
Almost definitely. That is for sure.
Yeah.
And where can people follow you on social media and follow your podcast so everybody around the world, maybe our listeners can listen, all of our listeners can listen to your show?
Yeah. So my podcast is called The Chris the Bone Show. It's my real name. Chris with a K-R-I-S. And, it's about positivity, right mindset, going after our goals. I thought tell fun stories, or sometimes ask some guests on. My wife moves on, and so we can talk about relationships. I even talk wrestling. In fact, I'm recording my most episode today. I talk about wrestling in that one. That's available on your favorite podcast app. And then I also started my own business with a life coach today, and I coach people and I teach how to be a coach, and you can find that on my website, chrispavone.com, and social media, Instagram, Facebook, I'm Chris Pavone, and then Twitter, I'm CrossDaddy.
All right, right on. Well, Mr. Pavone, I appreciate you taking the time to be on the podcast here. It was an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, you got it, Jordan. Thanks so much for having me. It was fun. Thanks for reaching out.
And man, oh
Oh, man, what a great interview with none other than former WWE star Kalen Cross. He talked about it all, and it was on the Jordan Garber Now podcast. Once again, everybody that listens, whether it's from the United States, Canada, Singapore, Brazil, I appreciate each and everybody's support each and every week for this podcast. Professional wrestling is my dream. This is what I dream to do. This is what I love to do, and pretty much this is all I know. So to just talk to consistent great wrestlers every week and bring them on my program and share what I love with you guys is definitely an honor to me. So thank you, everybody, for listening to Jordan Garber Now. And next week, we're going to have on at Friday, 5 p.m. Central, none other than Michael Modest and CWE promoter Danny Duggan. For myself, Jordan Garber, and the Jordan Garber Now podcast, you guys have yourselves a great rest of your day. There's not a lot of much news for this week here on Jordan Garber Now. However, you can always check out the daily news update here on Jordan Garber Now's YouTube page. You can always get your daily dosage of wrestling news, interviews, and more on the Jordan Garber Now news update. Now, I'm going to read this article in full because it's a little harder. It's easier to read than explain. This is written by Mark Middleton on WrestlingInc.com. And this is in reference to the backstage note on how WWE will air the top matches for WrestleMania 36. Quote, WWE officials were still working on the final lineups for both nights of WrestleMania 36 this week, but word is that two of the bigger gimmick matches will air on different nights. It was reported today by WrestleVotes that both the off-location matches will likely air on different nights. That would be the Boneyard match between Undertaker and AJ Styles and the Firefly Funhouse match between John Cena and The Fiend Bray Wyatt. It's also believed that the two main title matches will also air on different nights. Drew McIntyre versus WWE Champion Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns' replacement versus WWE Universal Champion Bill Goldberg. The same is likely for the top two women's matches, Charlotte Flair versus NXT Women's Champion Rhea Ripley, and Shayna Baszler versus Women's Champion Becky Lynch. That is the backstage note on how WWE is going to air the matches for WrestleMania 36. It looks like it's going to be a multiple-night event, but you know what? At the very least here, guys, we're still getting a WrestleMania. WWE is still delivering a product, and we're still being able to watch it. So I'm very grateful that there is still a WrestleMania through this pandemic, as well as Raw and SmackDown. It's just something that we're taking for granted here. You know, as well, the WWE Network is open for free, actually, to people, so they can watch all of the old pay-per-views. So, yeah, wrestling might not be it actually seems like the hottest thing in the world right now. And why? Is because there's no other entertainment open. The NBA is done. The NHL is done. So what are people going to do? What's the closest thing? They're going to watch wrestling. So I feel like when this pandemic is over, I feel that the product will be much bigger. And I feel that it's already a huge product. And like Michael Modest said, you're going to hear from next week, the product now seems better than ever. And I feel that if us as wrestling fans go through this pandemic together and take the proper precautions, wrestling has a very even brighter future. So that is a note on that. CWE Canada. The promotion that has been responsible for helping Jordan Garber now out time and time again. They have basically provided shows and brought on headliners. They got me to referee. They gave me a podcast segment. So what I did is I did an interview with Danny Duggan, which you can hear next week, regarding all the information you can do to donate to CWE during this coronavirus time. Obviously, all the wrestling fans in the world know how hard of a job it actually is to be a wrestling promoter and draw big numbers on every show. Danny has been doing a really good job of doing that, yet bringing big names for me to interview for you guys to listen to. So be sure to send your payments here. I'm just going to open up my YouTube page because I do have the Danny Duggan news update, which you can also check out on the Jordan Garber Now YouTube channel, as well. Kalen Croft did a news update. So you can donate to CWE Canada, Canada's top wrestling company, by emailing Danny Duggan, DannyDuggan at gmail.com, and donate to CWE if you do have the extra money to do so. Help professional wrestling and help a great product out. And they also provided some merchandise on the CWE Wrestling Group page that you can find on Facebook, where you can buy DVDs, merchandise, all of those kind of things. And that does result in us announcing a new sponsor here. And that new sponsor that we have on our show is, it's a collectible store that all the wrestling fans can do to help out CWE and help out Danny as well. It's called Hot Shots Retro wine and wrestling collectibles. It has the best wrestling collectibles on the planet. You can get yourself some great wrestling figures, some great DVDs, some autographed 8x10s from thousands of wrestling stars, VHSs, old tapes, keychains, many, many more on Jordan Garber Now's new sponsor, the Hot Shots Retro Rewind and Wrestling Collectibles public group page on Facebook. Be sure to check that out. There's new stuff listed each and every single day. Now, with this whole COVID thing, hopefully everybody can unite, stay safe with your families, and continue to watch maybe some classic tapes or some new tapes. I think it's just the most important time right now is to stick with your family and stay together. Everyone is being affected by this. I am currently unemployed and looking to be on a benefit so I can survive. And I can assume that millions and millions of Canadians and Americans are going through the same. So I wish my best thoughts and prayers out to each and every one of you. God bless you. And take every day at a time and stay strong. We are going to get through this. So Jordan Garber Now will be back next Sunday, next week, with Michael Modis and Danny Duggan. In the meantime, for that, MLW rescheduled their May 2nd Dallas event. Not much to really recap there. Most wrestling promotions are doing that nowadays. The only place I see wrestling right now is in Japan, but they must have some procedures in effect. Matt Morgan is celebrating 14 years of sobriety. Congratulations, Matt Morgan. Big shout-out to you. I also want to give a shout-out. Alyssa, happy birthday. You know who you are. Thanks for listening each and every single week. And once again, AEW is still going to continue their tapings. However, Georgia authorities have arrived at the tapings and have attempted to shut them down. But apparently, AEW had the proper paperwork in place to allow the tapings to go forward safely. Georgia state officials stuck around to ensure that proper codes were followed throughout the taping. So it looks like AEW is still running. WWE is still running. I think this is just something we have to take a day at a time. Pretty much all we can do. But that's pretty much a little dose of news, and I'm going to provide more of that to you guys on the Jordan Garber Now Daily News Update each and every single day, guys. So once again, thank you for listening to that quick little news segment, and yes, coming up is our main event interview with Kaelin Cross.
This is Open Talk Radio, The Flash.